Father's Day, but week three of a sermon series. And we've got some special people in the house right now. And so if you are on summer break from elementary school, let me just give a wave offering. Like if you are, like, just wave your hand if you are on summer break from school. Yes, yes, yes. So for all of you who are down here who are not normally down here, good morning to you, children. We are glad that you are here with us. You get to celebrate with us, too, all that was going on. You've joined us for week three in a four-week series called Engage. And this, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the idea of relational evangelism. And this week, we're talking about the relational discipleship. The real reason we're having these conversations is because of that first part of what it is that we consider our unique mission, and that is engaging people with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ. So we talked about what that life-changing truth is, and that life-changing truth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is God, that He came, He lived, He died, He rose, and He advocates for us, and that He's also coming back again. And so we talked about all of those things. We talked, and we're going to speak more about that Jesus coming back next week. But this week, we're not talking about it from the standpoint of people crossing the line of faith, because the moment you cross the line of faith, you begin a journey of constant engagement with the truth of Christ. It's not just, all right, I got the truth and now I'm good. No, it's, I have the truth and now I grow in the truth. I know more about the truth. It becomes the beginning of this beautiful eternity-long relationship. And so today we're talking about that. I wanted to say good morning to the Facebook people. I told you all a couple of weeks ago that we received a donation from a church, Tribes Church up in Rockford, hooked us up. We were able to purchase a new camera for the Facebook Live people. So you see us in high def, which is, it's been great. So thanks, Tribes. Thanks for joining us. Also, Facebook Live peeps, we're glad to just be able to fellowship. And one of the things that we define as fellowship is pursuing Christ together. So we're here together to pursue them. So let's pray before we dive in. Actually, let me give you a second to get, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, flip there. If not, we'll make sure that you get one. Before we go in though any further, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love for us. I don't know that I can say that enough. Every single thing that you have done when it comes to salvation and growing us up spiritually and us understanding who you are and engaging this truth of who you are, it's been motivated by your love. It's not been motivated by your frustration, even though, God, we frustrate you sometimes. But every single thing you have done for us, with us, and through us has been motivated by your love, and we thank you. So, Lord, as we dive into Scripture today and to glean a little bit, and learn about how you have revealed yourself, I pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to see you as you are, that we would honor you as you are, we would love you as you are, and God, that we would learn. And as a result of us spending time here, may we find you and then also find ourselves in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is Boys to Men. Boys to men, A, B, C, B, 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 Motown, man, back again. I know, I just took some of y'all way back, and then some of y'all like, I have no idea what he's singing. Like, well, I don't know what that is, man. So I am like the first year of millennial. So, like, I resonate with millennials, but then everybody behind me, as far as millennials, y'all have no idea what I was just singing about. Boys to Men, Google it. It will change your life. Okay? the title of the message is Boys to Men, and we're talking about relational discipleship, us growing up in the faith of God. And we're going to talk, we're going to really do a case study of what relational discipleship is. It's my favorite case study in the Word of God when it comes to discipleship, and that's this relationship between Paul and Timothy. And so I want you to see this picture, though, of these amazing young people. Yep, I did it. Yep, Google, this is the people that you're looking for. Boys to Men. Nope. That was Googled. Well, many of us, we remember them. Like, we watched our first little Boys to Men video. That's what we saw. Some of us have, you know, have not followed them as recently. I know that Rachel is still a diehard Boys to Men fan. She was at their last concert screaming with all of the ladies. But and so she didn't, this is not the last image that she has of Boys to Men. This next one is probably the most recent. That's the most, like, that's the last image that she has of Boys to Men. There's something unique about seeing pictures of people, you know, decades and, you know, in transition. You see a picture of yourself 10 years ago, see a picture of yourself 20 years. Some of you can see pictures of yourself from 40 years ago, and you see how much you've changed physically. I look at these pictures of Boys to Men, and I see how much they've changed. Like, you know, they had, you know, it was clearly early 90s gear going. They had the sweaters. It looked like they were like, you know, they were kind of this college group, these young men that were kind of collegiate. And then you look at this picture, and there ain't nothing about that that says college boys. That's like grown men. Like, you can see some of them have wedding bands on. Like, Wanye is wearing an ascot. I don't even know if anybody wears an ascot anymore, but that just screams grown man. Like, and the truth is, that's honestly how we should also be able to see us developing spiritually. We should be able to look back 10 years ago in our spiritual development and say, I look different. I feel different. Something about me is different. If we've been walking with Christ for 20 years, we should be able to go back and say, there's something different about me. If someone took a spiritual snapshot of me 20 years ago, it would look different. And the truth is, because of how we develop and grow spiritually, just like how we develop and grow naturally, if you did that 2 years ago, if you just became a Christian 2 years ago, think about what it looks like to a two-year-old and a newborn. They look different. Think about the difference between a newborn and a one-month-old. They look different. All of the baby fat's coming in and all that jazz. You should have some spiritual baby fat. We'll talk about that. And so today we're talking about what that is, and specifically from the context of us developing and growing as a family, as a body, as mentors. And so this is a little bit about a spiritual father-son kind of relationship. Paul and Timothy, they met each other. You can actually read about how they met in Acts chapter 16. Paul was going on his second missionary journey. He was about to go plant some more churches, spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And he met Timothy, who was a highly recommended believer. He was young, but his grandmother and his mother were both strong believers in the faith. And they were like, you know, hey, I want, you know, Timothy, you should consider taking Timothy with you. And Paul did. Paul took him with him. So, and the cool part about this is that Paul didn't just say, like, come with me and you can be my assistant. Paul not only took him with him and taught him everything he knew, but empowered Timothy with leadership, empowered Timothy with responsibility. A big piece of this development and this growth in us as believers is that we have someone that walks alongside us that says, you can do it. You can. And Timothy had that in Paul. And then Paul goes on to Macedonia. You can read that there, Acts chapter 16 through 20. Paul goes on to Macedonia and leaves Timothy to lead the church of Ephesus. So many of us, if you've read through the Bible, there's a book called Ephesians. And Ephesians, it's in the New Testament. And Paul was writing a letter back. And that book of Ephesians is a letter written to a church of Ephesus, in which Timothy is the leader of that church. Paul left Timothy in charge of it. So we're going to hop into one of the letters that Paul sent to Timothy. It's in book 2, 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 1. And so we'll start right at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. So I'm stopping there simply so that you can see the human relationship that exists here. It's really easy to start reading the Bible as a textbook. Like, we get in there, it's like A plus B equals C. Like, we want the answers. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking in Scripture for us to understand who God is, you know, from a textbook kind of standpoint. But there's also something else that's in Scripture: human relationships. We can never negate the human relationships that exist. Paul was not writing the Bible when he wrote to Timothy. He was writing a letter. And it became a part of Scripture. And so Paul, like the beginning part of this, we've got to like put ourselves into the middle of this relationship if we're going to really get anything out of it. Paul is writing to someone who has become like a son to him. Do you have anybody who is not related to you by biological means that has become family to you? I have those people. They have become family, like, and to the point where it's like, Your familiar relationships even begin to like shift a bit. Like, the line between friend and family blurs. And it's not just this guy that I hang out with at work. Like, this is when I think of brother, when I think of mother, when I think of father or sister, that person comes to my mind, even though I wasn't raised with them. This is Paul and Timothy right now. We have to put ourselves in that place if we're going to get it. When Paul says, I constantly remember you and I remember your tears, like, we got to think, he's seen some stuff with Paul. Chapter 1, verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. The first thing that I came to as I was processing this is we're talking about this idea of a mentoring type of relationship. Paul pulls Timothy along with him and begins to like mentor him and help him develop and grow. And so Paul becomes this mentor. And so if we're going to pull anything from the beginning of this letter, let's look at what Paul is doing with Timothy. And from that, a good mentor encourages you. Like, that's that first little piece of that puzzle. A good mentor, a good father figure, paternal figure encourages you. Like, I think it's really, really easy for us to focus on some of the you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, you did that wrong parts of mentoring and parts of fathering. Because there's a part of us that's, we want to see the people that we're mentoring and developing, we want to see them grow. But Paul doesn't start there. Believe me, he goes there, but he doesn't start there. He starts with, I think about you all the time. I pray for you. I thank God for you. I remember the rough stuff that we've dealt with together. And the same faith that I saw in your mother and in your grandmother, which made me so excited to take you with me, I see in you now. A good mentor encourages you. He also encourages, I don't have this on the screen, but Paul also encourages Timothy in the first letter, Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. I told you that Paul left the church of Ephesus to Timothy for him to lead, but he was young in that process. So can you imagine going from an older leader to a younger leader and the pressures that come along with that? Paul's like, you got this. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. You got it. He's encouraging him. Let's keep moving. back to 2 Timothy, first chapter 6-7 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And of this gospel, I am appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." And the last verse of that section is, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." There's a whole lot there. There's a whole lot there. And two things that immediately hop off the page for me is, again, Paul having this relational moment with Timothy. It's not just instruction after instruction after instruction after instruction. Paul begins to even peel back the layers of his own life, his own insecurity, his own issues emotionally that he's dealing with. Like, he's talking about his suffering, but he's also talking about the tension that exists in this suffering, but also the glory that exists in suffering for Christ. Paul's exposing so much of himself here, but in also saying, you fan into this same flame. Don't just look at the suffering that I'm enduring and feel like, you know, you don't have to deal it because, you know, my spiritual daddy got it. Like, no, like, you hop into the fire too, bro. There's so much that's going on in that section. Paul is not, he goes from encouraging him to this challenge as well. Because a good mentor challenges you. Not just points out your wrongs. I think we have enough people in our lives that do that for us. We do that pretty well ourselves too. Look in the mirror. You did that today. It was a garbage day. I think we're pretty good at that. We also, there's a spiritual component too. Satan is called accuser of saints. He does a good job of that. We need people who challenge us, who not only see the imperfections, but say, hey, you ain't got that together, but let me show you how you can get it together. Let me challenge you a little bit. Let me help you to grow. I'm going to say to you, like, I'm going to say, come this way. I think about a father sitting on the floor with his kid when they're starting to walk. If you've ever seen that, it's fun. It's exciting. Like, and if you have seen any dads like me, like, we don't care as much for their safety as we care that they take the first step. Take the first step. Oh, if you fall, it's fine. You're short. You'll bounce. Like, but just take the first step. And all of you mothers are like, no, no, no. The little babies, it matters. This is what dads do, okay? We care about their safety, but within the context of development. Take the first step. I remember all four of my children sitting on the floor and saying, come here, come here, come here. You can do it. Come here, come here. It's not just encouraging. It's also saying, come here. Come this way. Paul is doing that with Timothy. Yes, Timothy's a grown man. Yes, Timothy is leading a church. But still, come this way. Come this way. That's what good mentors do. We see the challenges that are ahead of the people that we are mentoring. But we still say, come, come, come this way. And the last thing about this is that a good mentor calls out the good in you. This is something that we should be looking for in our life. Someone who calls out the good in us. The good in us will get covered over, will get squashed out. But a mentor, someone who loves you, who has welcomed you into their family, and that line between friend and family has been blurred, they will call out the good in you. Not just point it out. So here's where we get from encouraging to something else. They call it out saying, you know what I see in you? Honestly, I see you as a pastor. Like, you have this way of loving on people and expressing the truth of God in such a way, I see that in you. You should really consider that. Or, you know what? You have great ideas. Have you ever considered starting a business? They call out the good in you and then walk alongside you while they are saying, yep, that is what I see. I see it. And every time we take a step forward, I see it more and more. And they say, not don't you just come, bring your good with you. Don't be afraid to live in the goodness that exists inside of you. I want that to shine. A good mentor wants to see the people that they are developing shine and are not afraid of them shining more than them. Jesus even said that to the disciples as he was leaving that they would do greater things than he did. So if we're talking about a mentor, Jesus himself was not afraid that we would shine and that we would do greater things than he did. A good mentor doesn't just stifle you and say, only rise to this level just a little shorter than I am. We're good. We're good. You can't grow anymore. Nope. A good mentor says, I see good in you, and it doesn't really matter about what's going on with me. I see it in you. And so let's develop that. Some of us have had this in our lives. And people, mentors, our own personal Pauls are showing up. Men and women, this is not just for men. I know it's called Boys to Men, but this is for all of us. We can look back. Some of us, it was our biological father. Like, they did that. Some of us have no relationship with our biological father, and that was not him. Some of us, it was a motherly figure. Some of us, it was just some random person down the street who took enough interest in us to say, come with me and let me show you the good that's inside of you. But some of us have never experienced this in our lives. Never. And so we feel lost. And let me tell you, that has nothing to do with our faith in Christ. Timothy had a strong faith in Christ and still needed a Paul. It's okay for us to acknowledge that I need another human to help me grow. That's what this is. That's what this relationship with Christ is. It is restoring the relationship between us and God, but also restoring our relationship between one another. And so that means I need another person with me. And in this particular situation, I need someone who will encourage me, who will challenge me and call out the good in me. It's one thing I actually really love about Bible narratives, because it causes us to think about the human side of what this is. There's a humanness to Scripture that we need to always remember, because we learn a lot more when we remember that there's a human side to it. So, some things for us to reflect and act on. The first one is find someone to be your Paul. Find someone to be your Paul. And I don't mean necessarily a male. You can find a Paula, a Pauline. No. Doesn't have to be someone named Paul or Paula, but find someone who you know will do that for you, will encourage you, and not just blow you up to make you feel good, not just ego stroke. What I mean by encourage is someone who sees your hard work and will say, great job, but also encouragement means that what they will see when times are challenging and say that I'm here with you. Paul remembers Timothy's tears, right? That's encouragement. It means I care about you, not just in the good, but I care about you in the crappy moments too. And I'm here for you, lifting you up. Find someone who will challenge you and will say, you're at step two, but there's more. Come on over here to step three and step four. And eventually, I may be at step eight, so you just keep going. Save yourself. Go on without me. Like, and someone who will call out the good in you, because we have a world that will constantly be showing us the negative that's inside of us. So someone who will expose the good that is there and call it out. And the last thing for us to reflect and act on is for us to take someone along for the ride. I will constantly say and remind us as believers, the moment we cross the line of faith, we have something to offer someone who hasn't. So if you've been in this thing for 10 years, you've been in this journey for 20 years, you've been in this journey for 40 years, take somebody along. You be a Paul. Encourage somebody, challenge them, and call out the good in them. That is what this relationship is of discipleship. Yes, classes are good. Yes, Bible studies are good. Man time all day long. Salt, let's make it happen. But if those are not a part of the recipe of a relational type of discipleship, then we're not living out of even one of the most successful things that we see in Scripture. And that is relationship that God allowed Paul and Timothy to have. And that relationship is played out several times. It's not the only time in the Bible. It's just my favorite one. Take somebody along with you. If you are a teenager, find some not teenager younger person to invest in. If you are an 8-year-old, find someone who you can encourage and say, good job, I'm glad you're here today. If you are a 5-year-old, how old are you? If you are a 12-year-old, if you're 13 and you don't remember, no, if you're 13, find somebody, yes, to encourage. That is what this is, and to challenge as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you love us and continue to pull us into this relationship with you, God, but also, Lord, knowing that this relationship with you means by default and by definition, a relationship with you means a relationship with other people. I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and grace to live in that idea of relational discipleship, that we would find people that encourage us and challenge us and call out the good in us, but also, Lord, that we would find people to encourage, challenge, and call out the good in, and that we would see each other growing and developing in you as we live out this familiar relationship of discipleship, that we would be able to celebrate a spiritual snapshot looking different year to year to year, month to month, and even in some cases day by day. Embolden us and give us grace to live in this space of trust and vulnerability with one another for your glory, not just for the sake of being in each other's business and in each other's lives, but that we would see each other growing in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.